What a weekend. What a start to the season. This past weekend, Orange County travels out to Pittsburgh, comes away with a shutout, 2 goals, 3 points on the road, 4 points overall after 2 road matches. Hey, things are looking pretty good, even though maybe the production on the field isn't looking perfect yet. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about more. Let's get into this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Helping me out tonight for this episode, first, we've got Dylan, the original podcast partner. How's it going, Dylan?
It's not too bad. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to talk tonight with you. And with this next person is Mr. Larry, the bearded one himself. How are we doing, Larry?
You know what? I could not be happy. You know what's really making me happy right now? I'm not going to lie. Dylan, the hair is looking magnificent, man. I'm loving every inch of it. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll
Oh, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I know that's your favorite. It's not a hair podcast. That's great for radio, too. You know, all the 2 seconds of silence.
Let's just move right along. If you didn't notice, I was trying to get you all introduced rather quickly so we could bring the important person on, and that's President of Business Operations for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Dan Rustine. Dan, as always, welcome back to the show. And hopefully Dan can hear us. Can you hear us, Dan? We may be having some audio issues here with Dan.
And it was all great in the pre-show before you showed up.
Right. It was. I admit. Dan, can you hear us? All right. So we cannot hear you. We cannot hear you, Dan. But yeah. So maybe we'll figure this thing out. Maybe we won't have Dan. I don't know, producer Andy, what you can do in the back end. I don't know if there's much that can be done on this, but hopefully we can figure this out. Dan, can you hear me? I don't think he's able to hear. we'll figure this out. We'll figure out a way to do this. I don't know.
Is he on mute?
He is not on mute. I don't think he's on mute, but who knows? But here we go. Let's just talk about this. And maybe Dan, if at any point, if you can start hearing us or we can hear you, just talk and we'll figure this out. But one of the reasons we invited Dan on the show tonight is to try and help us talk about this upcoming match. So we're doing things a little backwards here today. The upcoming home opener for Orange County with, you know, the fanfare, I believe at this point, a near sellout, if not already a sellout, who knows? And a lot of fun stuff.
7 sections sold out last I heard.
I think general admission is, if not already sold out, very close to it, which is very interesting. I've never seen that in my time as a fan with the general admission section being sold out. Have you seen that, gentlemen?
Not since the 2018 Western Conference Final against Phoenix.
And the only reason I say that is because I had some friends trying to buy tickets and they tried to buy 4, but it would only let her buy up to 3 tickets. So that's why I'm wondering how close it is to being sold out, or is there some sort of restriction on the number of tickets to try and leave tickets open? Who knows how this all works? That's where Dan might have been able to help out a little bit, but who knows? Let's talk about, I guess, this match a little bit, and then we'll talk about the Pittsburgh match as much as we want to. I know producer Andy's working to try and get Dan in here. We'll see if that works out for us. What are you looking forward to? I'm going to go to you first, Larry, because you'll be at the stadium. What are you looking forward to this Saturday?
You know, honestly, I'm going to look at...
I think really quick, I think Dan can hear us now. But we still can't hear Dan. Darn it. We got one thing set up here.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
There we go. We worked it out. Technology, Dan.
I'm not sure what happened there. Apologies. I enjoyed our discussion backstage where I gave away all those secrets. And then when you dropped me into the podcast, it didn't work for some reason.
We were just as confused as you were, Dan, because we were talking fine before everything got started. So really quick, I just want to say that what we were trying to talk about, get things started with. First, welcome to the show again. Second, how are things looking for this weekend? How excited are you for this season's home opener against the Miami FC, or the Miami FC, I guess is what they like to be called?
Well, so first of all, thank you very much for having me on. Apologies that I'm in a slightly darker area than you normally expect. I should probably explain. I play soccer every Monday night. This is no exception. I really wanted to come on, but I also wanted to get my rare over 45 runabout. So I will be going to football later. So that's why my car. Although I'm excited about playing soccer tonight, I'm nowhere near as excited as I am about the game on Saturday. I'm not a big fan of preseason. Too many things can go wrong. It's not the real thing. We're very excited to have what will be a sellout. I think we've got dribbles of tickets left now. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Obviously, the team have started really well on the road, which builds the anticipation. But we can't wait to have everyone in the stadium on Saturday. It's going to be a full house. We've got a few things that are going to be a bit different. It's going to be great to have everyone there. And we're very excited to get on with the season.
So you mentioned the look. It's looking like a sellout. Obviously, we're waiting for those final ticket sales, the final numbers. What off the top of your head, do you know, like, roughly how many tickets are left for people that haven't bought their tickets yet that want to go? What's the urgency for them?
So the GA is full. I think there are, when I was looking this afternoon, there might be maybe 100 tickets left, but they're all in dribs and drabs. If you want to come with a group of five or six of you, I don't think you'll be able to sit with your friends. It's now down to the dregs, which is great. We sold out the last seven games of last year, which was five more sellouts than the club would ever have in a season. And we're going to start the year with our eighth straight Saturday sellout, which is fantastic. And things are always looking good for some future games as well. So whatever it is that is making fans want to come to these games, we're very excited that they do. And if you want to get a ticket, you've probably got about 24 hours left to buy one of the leftovers, or you're going to be missing out.
Yeah, we were sort of talking to this while we were trying to figure out the audio issue here. And I was shocked this past weekend when I had a friend trying to buy some GA tickets. And I think we were all talking about, like, we've never seen a week before a match GA sold out, which it's awesome for you all at the club. And it's awesome for fans to see that there's this excitement coming into this. Have you, in your short time here, have you experienced that, like, being able to sell out this early or this prior to a match coming?
No, and this is something we discussed internally. You know, the sales team have done a great job. The marketing have done a great job. Frankly, the fans have done a great job telling their other fan friends about what's happening, because we've never been this sold out this far in advance of a game, which is fantastic. You know, there's a whole sort of conspiracy around clubs and announcing sellouts and when do you actually do it and are they real? But this is real. Like, there are not going to be any seats left within the next 24 hours or so. I sometimes have comps that I use for various partners and so on, and I've been told in no uncertain terms by our head of ticket operations that I'm not allowed to give tickets to anybody. So it will be a packed house. Get there early. We're opening up half an hour early, as I hope everybody knows, because we want for people to enjoy the atmosphere and be ready to go, but also hopefully to help ease people in for that first game of the year. And it's going to be very exciting to have everyone there.
Hey, Dan, I think something that might be very exciting for people to know about is, what are you wearing on your body right now, sir? Is this a third kit? What's going on here?
No, it's a very good question. So I always... I do my best to represent the club at all times, as one always should. So when I play football on a Monday night, I nearly always wear an Orange County shirt of some kind. So we play, what do we play? We played Reds against Whites. So I can normally wear orange and I wear my black ones. I was trying to think what to wear tonight, and I thought I'd wear this one, which is a one-off sample. It's not a third kit. It's not some secret. This is one of the black kits that we didn't make this year. So as I'm sure you know, when you're planning these things, you get sent samples. So the badges aren't quite right and it's not quite the right material, but we looked at some options. This is an option we chose not to go with. So I guess I'm wearing a one of one, never to be made into a shirt sample. So that is what it is. I'm not inadvertently giving away a secret by mistake. I nearly wore my orange shirt, which looked a bit like the orange shirt we launched on Saturday, but minus some of the colouring that we chose not to go with on one of the samples. So if you want, I can wear more of these samples. So the guys I play football with on Monday night know the 7 ideas that didn't turn into kits because they see me wearing those shirts.
There are a lot of disappointed people in the chat right now. Let's see. There are comments. What a tease. Boo this man. Boo. Yeah, they're
quite right.
I think people kind of like this kit. It looks sharp. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can resurrect it later on. But I don't think we need to do another kit launch just yet because we've already done 3 in a week. So I guess a question for you guys, as you know, our core fans, what do you think of? Well, what did you think of the black kit? What did you think of the keeper's kit or the scorer's kit, as we had to call it for a week, and the orange kit?
I will go. First of all, Collins, plum, purple, whatever color that was, kit on Saturday, magnificent. Loved it. Kerry loves it. The black County Road kit, I will be buying that. So go ahead and take my money. And the orange kit that the boys were wearing there on Saturday night, yeah, take some more of my money because I'm going to buy that one too. I'm loving them. I'm loving everything I'm seeing. I think my wife is going to get mad at me if I buy all 3 to include the U.S. Open kit. So yeah, there's only so much money I can spend in a year. I'm digging them.
Dylan, I'll let you give a couple comments on it to give Dan some feedback. Dan asked the question, you know, knowing what time he had to head out here. So give him a quick answer.
Fair enough. Dan, the County Roads kit is, I think, the best one I've ever seen. And I certainly hope it is the one that the players are wearing at the end of November when we lift the second cup.
That would be beautiful. My quick answer for you, Dan, is I like the nuances. Like I was looking at that orange kit. I like the little wave pattern on the end of the arms. Those little things are beautiful and awesome to see. My only gripe I have is purple as the goalkeeper kit, and that's only because I've always refused to buy anything purple because I don't like the basketball team out of LA that wears purple. So it's always been hard for me. But I may have to buy this kit. It actually looks really beautiful with the orange and purple sort of going together and all that. It looks really cool. So
yeah, you know, kits are special. Kits are important. Kits mean something. Kits sort of create emotion. And I think part of the reason we moved to Hummel was the ability to do real kits and tell real stories properly. That's my light's gone off. Bear with me. there we go.
Battery saver there.
So I've always been I collect kits and I love kits. And I think the ability to do something special. And so the black kit, the whole kit was created around your song and what you do for us as a fan base. And that's why the video was what it was. And I think as a team, we're building this community club, this community first club. And I've said that you've heard me say this on this show and every interview I think I've ever done. Like the moment we nearly lost our stadium transformed everything. And part of the reason we changed the Hummel is to be able to tell story better through the story of kits. So the black kit, you know, is you. It's an homage to you. And even the orange kit. Now, I'm colorblind, which is not great. So I didn't realize we'd never played in the correct color orange. So the oranges available to us were not the Orange County brand orange. This orange kit is. And, you know, the thank you fans written in the collar, that the detail on the inside collar, the 4 county jock tag, all of those things, we can now tell better stories because we have the ability to properly design kits and let the kits tell the story. And hopefully there's more stories to tell. So obviously the Open Cup, which everyone's very excited about, we wanted to tell a story through that kit as well. So there's a lot that we're trying to do. There's a lot we're trying to change to make this club what you deserve it to be. So we're selling out games. We're giving you kits that mean something. There'll be more things in the stadium, I think, that make it feel like the home that you all want it to be and we want it to be for you. So a lot of the things we're doing, we want the fans to... We're doing this for the fans. All clubs are built from the fans up, and that's what we want to be able to do for you. And these are some of the changes we're making this off season.
And we'll say this, and I'm not by all means speaking for everybody, but we appreciate what the club is doing with the nice kits that we're getting and all the things that the club seem to be doing to make this a better club for the fans and for everyone. I know you got to go because you got an important match to go play, and I want to let you go get warmed up. Last message to the fans before we let you head out to go play some footy.
So normally I say, you know, make sure you're there on Saturday, but you, it seems like you already are because we've nearly sold out. So make sure when you're there, you help the players. We talk, the players like a sold out stadium. When we talk on our meeting about these things, the feedback from the technical side is it means something to the players. But it's not just about, you know, bums on seats. It's about people cheering and being loud. So do the things that make it feel like a real stadium. We've started so well this year on the road. Let's create a fortress at home. So thank you for coming, and let's really make the most of your presence there, and just keep coming every game. Let's see how long we can keep this sellout streak going.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, President of Business Operations for your Orange County Soccer Club, Dan Rutstein. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. And please, last time we saw you, you had a little finger injury. Let's not see that happen again after tonight's match. Enjoy the fun out on the pitch.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Awesome. Cheers, Dan. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring Dan on here because we're excited for this opening match. We're excited for these kits. We're excited with what the club's doing. And we appreciate that Dan, although he had a prior commitment, he took at least a few minutes tonight to be able to speak with us before he went and had fun playing some soccer, or what he probably would say, playing some footy out there. He's a goalkeeper, if you didn't know. And that's why I was just telling him to protect those fingers. Apparently he injured some fingers a few weeks back playing this. So what do y'all think? Before we get to Pittsburgh, I'm going to go each of you. How excited are we for this home opener? I know, Dylan, you're going to miss that home atmosphere, but I'm sure you will be keyed in on the stream watching and like sort of imagining you being there. How excited are you for the home fans, Dylan, that'll be at the Championship Soccer Stadium for this match?
I am very upset to be missing this one. I'm very upset to be working to miss this one. But I am really happy for everybody that's going to be there. And it wasn't all that long ago when the opening game of the year was going to be one of the better attended matches. But, you know, 2,000 people was a good night at the Champ. And in the last few times I've gone, I remember showing up literally minutes before kickoff and making it into the stadium okay, and you can't do that anymore. And that's a great sign. You know, we won a cup and that's excellent, and things on the business side are growing. The player development side is working. You know, this is a club on the rise, and it's really nice to see where it is now from the first time I saw an Orange County game at UCI 8 years ago now. So it all feels so special.
It's a different kind of excitement for this team than I think any of us have ever experienced. And this includes probably the first match after we won the cup. I think we were excited then. This feels a lot different with the sort of personalized kits for the team, the marketing push, the ownership push they had at the end of last season. Larry, I know you're planning on being there. You know, yes. Just want to, obviously, if something crazy happened, maybe not. But other than that, you're going to be there. How excited are you for this match, and what are your expectations?
I absolutely cannot wait. I am, you know, my first game was back in 18 and then became a season ticket holder and have been going since, you know, I think I've missed since 2019. I think I've missed 5 home games, maybe 6 home games in, you know, so 1, maybe 2 a year, if that. I am as excited for Saturday as I have ever been for an Orange County Soccer Club game. Seeing what the team is doing, and again, let's, you know, going back to the kits and a shout out to the fans and the new mural that's up there as you walk in the entrance. For those of you watching, if you have not seen this new mural that's up there above the entrance, it's beautiful with some of the players on there. There's so much excitement building around this club. Things can only go up and up and up from this point on with this team. And I can't wait for Saturday night. I'm gonna try to keep my emotions in check when I'm making those videos that I'm posting up on Instagram, because I get a little wound up and a little pumped up. And yeah, so It'll be hard to do, but you know, I have my wife and my kid to calm me down sometimes a little bit, not totally. I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. I will be there probably at like, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, just waiting for the gates to open.
I am with you, Larry. I'm excited. I will be getting there, maybe not quite as early as you are, just because I do have a little group of people are going, and we decided we're going to meet outside of the stadium to grab a bite before we all head over to the stadium. But I will be there for sure for kickoff. And for those that love when I'm sitting in GA near and with County Line Coalition, that's where we're sitting for this game. We didn't purchase actual seats for this game. We are going to be there in GA having fun for this one, which I'm anticipating. Part of the excitement that we have, and I don't have the stats, I don't know how accurate this is, but part of the excitement that's leading into this match is the start that Orange County has gotten off to, at least points-wise. The on-field product is probably a little worrisome to many of us. We are looking at it as like, we haven't looked the sharpest. There's been some sloppy passing, some mistakes, but Orange County came away two road games against two, you know, top teams from last season. Everyone seems to think Pittsburgh was going to do the similar this year, except for maybe the people in Pittsburgh were a little bit more realistic about what their chances are with all the things that have happened. But 4 points in those two matches after not a great game in either of those matches, and now heading home, I think that's where we're excited, is because in the past, these are probably matches Orange County drops at the beginning of the season. They don't earn points. They wouldn't even have 1 point after these two performances early in the season. What are your thoughts? I'll go to you, Dylan, on this Pittsburgh match. How excited was it, A, to get the early goal to put Orange County up top, and B, to see them be able to withstand the haymakers that Pittsburgh was trying to throw at them and still come away with the result?
Yeah. Let me start with a quote from Brian Olosky, over. And clearly he was chomping at the bit to get there. And I think it was 2020. I saw him not take this chance, and I think he's probably in his prime now, and he's, you know, gone through a full preseason for the first time in a few years, and looks fit and looks really hungry, and backs that up with a goal. And to quote, I think myself from last week, sometimes you play really poorly and you still get a result. I think if we had taken a point from this game, awesome, because we were outplayed, and to take 3 points from it feels amazing. And to know that, yeah, we're probably going to play poorly over the course of a 30 plus game season. It happens, but to turn around and be really efficient, you know, two shots on target, two goals, when moments count, doing enough to get a goal, good result. And to be fair, creating your own luck, I think, is a big part of this as well, because if you can rely on a few seconds, you know, we'll get to that one later, but if you can rely on a few seconds of a chance, and you know that you can put that in the back of the net, it does take, I think, a little bit of the pressure off the rest of the team for the rest of the match.
Yeah, I agree. I like the comment from Edison about the early goal. It was Pittsburgh's home opener, so you know the fans and the team were energized for that start, and we just sort of threw an early right hook, knocked them down, and then they lost all the energy they had built up for that. Larry, I'm going to ask you, you can give your thoughts on this match as well, but I want to ask you a key question here is, for that first goal, it was a beautiful pass from Ryan Dogman, and it was beautiful Milan Olosky to keep going after it. You know, I'm sorry, Brian Olosky, for going after it and getting the ball in the back of the net. You know, some players might just assume the defense or the goalie is going to get a touch on that, and they might not hustle like that. Who do you give more props to in that goal? Is it Ryan Dogman's great cross, or is it Brian Olosky fighting to the end?
Absolutely magnificent move with the ball by Ryan. Fantastic pass, amazing pass. The finish from Brian was also just on point, as good as we've seen him finish. I think the real winner on this whole situation is the Pittsburgh center back who gave up on the ball thinking that his goalie was going to get there. Because if you look, all he's got to do is take one step the opposite direction, and he's not sprinting in the other direction. He could very easily have stopped and picked that ball off, and he didn't. So I'd like to thank that center back, whoever he was. I didn't catch his name. I'll look it up later. Yeah, he's the one who really deserves a lot of credit on that goal. Amazing pass, unbelievable finish. Dogman went through how many different defenders there? Five he drew in, something like that. I'm going to give it all the way across the board to everybody, including the Pittsburgh center back. Well done, sir.
And I'm going to apologize right now because Dylan called me out on with his look when I said Milan Alaski instead of Brian. I'm just so used to last year being able to say it's Milan Alaski putting the ball in the back of the net and something like that.
Stop living in the past, old man. You know, Brian Alaski's time is now.
Oh, I believe it. It was just a slip of the words from me there. Larry, you didn't give your overall thoughts on this match as far as Orange County being able to hold on and take the punches that Pittsburgh was throwing their way.
First half, possession, 72-28. That is ugly. Full game possession, I think 63-37, something like that. That is ugly. We gave, again, yeah, there's the halftime possession. We gave away way too many balls, way too many. A lot of sloppy passing, a lot of lazy passing. They need to move away from that and get a little bit crisper. But like I said last week, if this team can play that poorly in Sacramento and come out with a point and then repeat the very, very average performance in Pittsburgh and come out with three, just keep in mind when this team starts firing on all cylinders, this is a dangerous and scary soccer club for everybody in the USL Championship, because this team is going to fire on all cylinders. They are going to clean up that passing. We've gotten 4 points on the road without two huge pieces in the lineup in Dylan Powers and Kyle Scott. And we're talking about big Pete, not just, you know, a couple guys who fill in the 18 and get 12 minutes at the end of the game. We're talking about guys who go out and last season play 75, 80 minutes every single game, and they have not been on the pitch yet. So let's keep in mind, we still got those two waiting in the wings. There's so much firepower on this team. Brian looks amazing to start the season. I cannot be any more excited. I said, 2 years ago, I bet my beard on him getting more minutes last season. Brian Olosky on the pitch, it's a different soccer team. Brian Olosky on this pitch for 34 games at 80 minutes a game, that's a guy who's going to do some special things.
And you mentioned, you sort of read my mind, because that was going to be my next topic of discussion, is we're missing some key players from last year's key run at the end of the season. And as good of players as Kevin Partita and Seth Kasipley are, I think they're even struggling without having Kyle Scott there. I think all three of those players individually are good. Them all playing together in that midfield, they all play great. They all sort of complement each other perfectly. They know each other so well. We saw that from the run last season. So I believe once you get Kyle Scott back in there, it's going to solidify. This is no disrespect to Jafal and what he's doing. He's looked pretty good out there. He's I just don't think there's that. There's just not that cohesiveness and that chemistry built with him, Partita, and Seth Kasipley, which we had with Scott. Now, the awesome part is you're building that now at this point of the season. So later on down the road, if you need him to step in and fill in a slot like that, he's going to be ready, and he's going to sort of have known how to play with these guys from the early season start. And, you know, the chat in here talking about Miles, right? I know you said you were going to talk about Miles, Larry. Go for it.
Yeah. I mentioned Ashton last week and some flashes of Kobe Henry. And, man, the kid, I got to get away from calling people kid. Yes, he's 2 years older than my son. He's a kid. I got to get away from that. This is a grown man, a professional athlete. He is playing like a grown man. He is not playing like an 18-year-old kid. He is going toe-to-toe with every offensive player coming at him, and he is meeting every single challenge so far to start this season. I mean, and another big cog missing in Saturday's game, no Marcus Nackum, captain. Didn't play. He was in the 18, did not see the pitch. I'm guessing maybe he might pick up a little knock in training. So we're talking about three huge cogs. Mm-hmm. And Ashton just stepping in beautifully and doing a magnificent job these last couple of weeks. Very, very excited to see see what more he can do and as he matures further.
So yeah, the early goal from Brian, the taking the punches from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was really trying to fight back and get something back there. Again, we talked about Orange County wasn't playing the smoothest, and probably you could probably ask the coaching staff and the players that it wasn't their best game out there. But this is what champions do. They get results even when they're playing poorly. They find out a way to sort of take those wins and get those points. And part of it was that sort of nail in the coffin, the late goal from the man who said it himself. He had so much time. He probably could have tied his shoes. He could have, you know, pulled out his phone, called his mom, or called someone, ordered a pizza, whatever it is. That was a forward for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Cameron Dunbar. Cameron, first time on our show. Welcome. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you guys for having me on. I've been watching since you guys started, and you guys are killing it. Really liking it.
We're excited to have you on here. And let's just tell us about this moment with this goal in this match, because you said you had so much time. You probably, you could have pick and choose. If this was like a video game where you have to like button mash like 8 combination, you would have probably been able to do that. And goal scores in there right there. Obviously, I think we did the math. It was like 1 to 1.5 seconds of time. But when you're on the pitch, that feels like forever, right?
I timed it 2 or 3 times. 1.51, 1.61. Let's call it 1.55 seconds. That's a lot of time, Cameron. Seriously? That's a lot of time?
In the moment, yeah. I was able to think of a lot of things that I wanted to do. And then ultimately, yeah, that was the one that I felt would be the best course to take. So, yeah, that was the one I went with.
And I want to just sort of ask this, because obviously a lot of the stuff you do probably is just instinct from training and what you've been doing your whole life. And it just happens. Ball comes to your feet. You know what to do. But you mentioned you thought about it on this one. What's going on in your mind in that whole moment there? As you see the cross coming in from Sordo, it looks like it's going to get to you perfectly. So what's going on? Are you telling yourself, don't mess this up. Don't miss the ball. Don't let it get past you. Or what's going on in your mind in that moment?
No. So in this one, it was, like I said, we had been kind of going long earlier or throughout the game. And yeah, as soon as Chris brought it down, I realized I had a good amount of space to kind of just float into the box. And yeah, he put in an excellent cross. It was perfect. But yeah, as it was coming, it just felt like I had so much time to think about what I wanted to do. It was coming. I was like, oh, do I want to hit it? First time off the volley. But I know that goalkeeper really well. We played a lot together last year, and it would have been quite difficult to score off the volley against him from there. So, and I thought, okay, I'll just bring it down. And once I saw the defender coming, I knew I could just cut it right back across him, and then the finish was going to be right there for me.
So Orange County's first 2 matches on the road. You get a point in Sacramento. You get 3 points in Pittsburgh. We were talking about it earlier. Probably not the perfect performance from you guys out there. This is probably not even, close to what you all are anticipating to be your perfect play out there. How good does it feel though, to know that you didn't play your best matches and you still come home first 2 matches on the road, you come home with 4 points and now you're going to have an exciting home opener in front of a sellout crowd. How does that make you feel as a player personally? And how is the team feeling about the points and the outcomes?
Yeah, personally, it's really positive. I'm a guy that hates losing, so the fact that we're getting these points on the road in tough conditions is really encouraging. And yeah, especially on Saturday, when we found out, I found out that they'd only lost 1 game all year there, made that one feel that much sweeter. So it was really nice to get the 3 points there. And yeah, even though it wasn't a great performance from us, the fact that we're getting those points is big. And you see that with the best teams in any league, is that even if they don't play the best, they're still in the game and making things happen and winning the points on the day.
And my co-host here have some questions for you, but I want to just open it up. Any fans watching live, throw your questions in the comments. And if we get a chance, we'll definitely ask Cameron those questions. Dylan, I'll hand it off to you.
Cameron, welcome. You obviously came on with Among and Sordo at the hour mark of this match, and it took you 15 minutes for the 3 of you to combine to create that goal. How do you feel playing alongside them? I know Tomas was here last year with you, but more importantly, did the three of you qualify as super subs yet?
I think that play right there could have, that could be, we could be classified as super subs just off of that play right there. I think it, it's crazy when, all three of the substitutes combine to contribute to a goal, like how that happened on Saturday. I don't know if I don't see that too often, but yeah, it was great. And yeah, Morton knows what the team needs, whether it be starting the game or when to add things to the game. And yeah, he got it perfectly on Saturday, bringing all three of us on and then ultimately getting that second goal.
I imagine that the three of you combining probably is creating something of a headache for him. Are you happy to come in and try and kill games off, or you know, how close do you think you are to a starting spot?
For anyone, everyone in the team wants to be playing 90 minutes, and I think that's what's making us so really confident, and really, like, you see this mentality, this fight, this hunger in all the games that we're playing, is because everyone wants to show and perform well, whether they're coming off the bench or starting the game. That just creates a really positive team environment because everyone wants to contribute to the win. For myself, Thomas, Chris, in this case, we all came off the bench, but we know we want to be starting. We know we want to try and help the team as much as we can. And whether it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 90 minutes, we're going to perform the same no matter what it is and fight for the 3 points.
So, Cameron, I'm Larry. We haven't gotten to meet before, but really glad to have you here. And I'm going to go back to, I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to do because I am an old guy. I'm probably a little bit older than your dad. As you get older, you will find out that time goes a whole hell of a lot quicker than when you're in your early 20s. Again, from the time first touch to taking the shot, 1.5 seconds. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. And congrats on your first goal with Orange County Soccer Club. It was a great way to open up your account so early in the season. My question is, are you aware that you are the fourth player we've had on the show so far this year? Shuttler, Iloski, Kasipley, Dunbar. What do all four of you have in common?
I saw that. We've all scored this season.
That's right. So here's the next thing. Who's next? Who do we invite on the show next week? Who do we get open in their account? What do you think?
We got to get my boy Ethan. Ethan, he's ready. He's hungry for the goals. He's been playing. He's fighting up there. We got to get him on the score sheet. He's ready for it.
Absolutely. One thing I like to ask you guys when you come on the show, you're a young man still at 21, 22?
Yeah, 21.
21. At what point did you realize, I'm good at this? I might be able to make a living with my feet and a ball. How old were you when that realization hit you?
I want to say I was, I had always dreamed about it. I knew I wanted to be a professional probably when I was in the second grade. But that's still such a long way away. And I'm just playing, scoring games on the weekend. But it's still, we're so young at that level. It's kind of hard to judge if I'm going to be like a top player to be able to progress to the next level. But I'd say by the time I was about 14, when I was about to join the Galaxy's Youth Academy, was when I realized that I was like, okay, I feel like this is an opportunity to join a professional environment and be around a different caliber of player that I'd been playing with growing up. And once I had kind of settled in there and really felt comfortable, I was like, oh, well, I feel like I'm just as good as all the guys that I'm around, and just, kept progressing through the ranks there. And it was, by the time I was 17, I was playing in and around with the first team.
That's awesome. There's a few fan questions out there. Chuck Eldridge, he wanted to know, what is your favorite restaurant in Orange County?
Favorite restaurant? Ooh, I think it's this place called Burnt Crumbs. Over here in Irvine, it's like a little brunch breakfast spot. But yeah, they have these souffle pancakes that are really good. I'm loving them.
That sounds pretty good. And Joe Figueroa, he wanted to know if you have tried any good taco spots.
Taco spots. I've yet to find. Yeah, I haven't tried any real taco spots out here.
Okay, then try Taqueria Oi, because they got the truck there at the games every week. And there are 34 times a year where I get to eat, well, 17 times a year where I get to eat the tacos, and they're the best things on the planet. So
okay.
I don't know if you want to have that before a game or not.
Maybe after the game.
Maybe after the game.
They do have physical locations, I think three locations in Orange County. So if you're not going to do the food truck at the stadium, then go to one of the physical locations. That's not a problem.
Awesome. That is it for me, Cameron. Hey, you know what, buddy? Keep on doing what you're doing. We were all very excited when we saw you make your debut last year and watched you. God, it might have been the Pittsburgh game where you dribbled through about three or four of their guys. It was, and all of us, we talked about it extensively on the show the next night or the following Monday, going, boy, he's got some wheels and he's got something special. He's going to be exciting. And we were all very, very fired up when you came back, when we saw that you were coming back for another season. So keep on keeping on. Let's score some more goals, and we'll have you back here sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, sir. Excited to see you guys.
I do have one soccer question, and then we'll get out on. We want to ask you a couple fun questions because we like to ask some fun questions with our guests. Obviously, and not trying, no disrespect here, but you're not the biggest guy on the pitch, obviously, when people look, especially when you stand next to Ethan Zubac. I mean, it's light and day with that. So for players that aren't the biggest stature, soccer is an awesome sport because they could still go out there and dominate and be successful. What advice do you have for those that are maybe similar to your build and size that are coming up as a young player, and how can they become successful in soccer?
Yeah, I would say for me, the thing that I was lucky enough to have coaches that kind of, they noticed that I wasn't the biggest, but they knew I was quick and I was able to have a good kind of feeling of the ball. And that was really what they hammered for me growing up. And as I was starting to develop as a player, was just getting really good with the ball, trying to be as technical as possible, make sure my first touch goes where I want it to go, so I don't have these big center backs sticking their toes out trying to poke the ball away, but making sure that I have control of the ball and I'm putting it in the spots where I want to be. And then, yeah, really on putting them off balance and dribbling right past them, because once we have that low center of gravity, it's kind of hard to keep up with those small guys.
Yeah, that's I've worked with some younger players that are smaller, and that's what I tell them. Just use that to your advantage. Don't think of it as a disadvantage. It's a big advantage for the players that have that low center of gravity. Let's get to some fun stuff. And you and I talked at Media Day. Oh, wait, Larry has something really quick.
One more. Actually, Cameron, this is another fan question from Keith. Keith said, at 19, you scored 12 goals in the USL Championship. How many are you scoring this year?
Oh, yeah, I got my whiteboard right here. I've got my goals for the season. But yeah, I was talking about that the other day with one of the coaches when I was talking about that season, and I felt like I left a lot of goals out on the table that year, and I could have had like at least 15, 17 goals. So, you know, I'm going to be aiming for that again. Try and be as effective as I can in front of goal, and really make it hard for defenders to stop me and stop our team this season. Whether it be goals or assists, yeah, I'm going to try to get as many as I can this year.
Double digits.
Yep.
Let's get to double digits. That'd be beautiful. All right. Fun time. We talked at Media Day, and you shared that you like to dabble a little bit in music.
Yeah.
I forget. I know you told me the name of sort of what you style yourself after. Who was that again?
Right now it's Babytron. He's he's a Detroit rapper.
Perfect. Do you want to give us a little sample of your flow, or is it too is it too off?
Once I have some for you guys, you'll be the first to know. I'll make
awesome.
Sure,
yeah. Once you get some stuff in the studio, let us know. We will definitely help people know who Cameron Dunbar is. Or I don't know. Do you have a artist name that you're going to go by, or that you're thinking of going by?
had one when I started when I was in middle school, and it was just Cam the Man back then. I'm in the process. I'm trying to figure out. I wanna evolve from that.
That's a total middle school name right there. If you're gonna pick your musician name as a middle schooler, that's what you go with, right? Cam the Man. If you opened up, I know you said Babytron is someone you're sort of influenced by. If you were to open up your Spotify right now, what song or what artist is going to be on there? Is it Babytron or is there someone else that you were just randomly mix?
He'd be in there. But Travis Scott, I've been listening to a lot of Travis Scott lately. Drake, of course. Yeah, I would say those three are in my playlist the most.
Awesome. Awesome to hear. I'm going to pass it off to Dylan because he has one that we haven't got to answer. We haven't asked Cameron this because this is the first time on the show.
Yeah, actually I have another one for you from a fan / someone who was actually supposed to be here instead of me tonight. Cam, you've played 3 clubs for your senior career now. So quite a few different kits, quite a few different only 2 different manufacturers. Which has been your favorite kit of your career from a design standpoint, and which has been your favorite kit of your career from a comfort standpoint?
My favorite kit, honestly, I really like the orange ones that we had on Saturday. Those are out there. I like that that little collar we kind of have, and the black that goes down the front. That's definitely out there. Any other kits? And probably just the Galaxy jersey I made my debut in. That'll be very memorable for me forever.
That's always your debut kit's always a good one to go with. I mean, there's only one time you're ever going to debut, so
yep,
go with that kit. That's perfect. I love hearing that.
Yeah, certainly can't fault you. Now to go in a wildly different direction, Cameron, what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
Spinach. Spinach is definitely my favorite vegetable. And I like a sauteed spinach with some garlic in there.
So you're not doing it though, like
excellent taste.
I'm aging myself right now, but you're not doing like Popeye and like cracking open the can and just squeezing it and just chomping it down.
Maybe before one of the games this season, I'll do that. And then, we'll see how
it goes. We'll have to get a promo. Like we'll have to just find Cameron one day and just try and get that to work. We'll get a squeezable can looking bottle thing to squeeze the spinach. And
it could be a goal celebration. We can get you chomping it down and showing off some guns. It'll be great.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I like that thought, Dylan. Hey, just when you score a goal, the champ, make sure you run up by to CLC and we'll make sure someone has some sort of spinach.
Some sauteed spinach, some freshly sauteed spinach.
We'll get a walk. We'll get a walk right there on the end line. The guy's walking it up. So when Cameron scores, we can just like toss him some spinach. Any other questions from anyone before we let Cameron go? He has to go get some rest before he has to train this week. Nah? All right. Cameron, opening a home opener this weekend. Fans are going to pack the house. We're hearing it's pretty much going to be a sellout at this point. We're like a few tickets away from that. Message for the fans that are going to be making the trip out there to Championship Soccer Stadium. How can they best support you and your teammates and hopefully lead you all to 3 more points?
Yeah, like Dan was saying earlier, be loud. It's always tough when we're on the road and the other opposing fans are yelling and screaming. So it really adds something to the whole team when you guys are, you know, motivating us and pushing us from the stands. For 90 minutes, we want to hear you guys. We're going to fight for you guys. And we hope we can make you proud and give you guys something to fight for as well.
We're looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, goal scoring forward for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Cameron Dunbar. Cameron, as always, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Thank you guys for having me, and hope to see you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Cameron.
So fun. Cameron is a great guy. I know, Dylan, obviously you weren't there. Larry didn't get to make it to me today, but myself, producer Andy, and Tyler, we got to have a nice conversation with Cameron and a few other players, and he was just so open to talking with us and answering whatever questions or doing whatever we were asking of him to do, maybe recording some videos and stuff like that. So we appreciate him. We appreciate the rest of the team that always helps us out and contributes to our show. All right. So this has been fun. We got Dan through. We dealt with the technical difficulties, but we still got some good information from Dan. We talked about that Pittsburgh match. Let's talk about this Miami match. Anything worrying you, Dylan, with Miami heading into Orange County or into Irvine for this home opener?
I mean, yes, realistically, we could be a lot better with the ball. We've kind of proven that we could do it without the ball, but I also think that 30% possession at home the first match of the year is probably not going to be the sweet, awesome play that the crowd is expecting. So I do hope, and I am patient and waiting for a Kyle Scott to return, and kind of waiting for everybody to get to know each other and actual competitive play before that's there. You know, it's still very much March, but I think my biggest fears are us not scoring. I think defensively, yeah, we got away with a few, but we look good and the players look, I think, happy. And look, I said it earlier, if you can play poorly and still get away with a result, that's great. We've played poorly in two matches and we're the second best team in the league. So we're still, you know, we're setting the pace in the West, not playing super well. If we can fire on all cylinders, hopefully that starts this weekend.
Perfect. What about you, Larry? You're going to be there pitch side, probably roaming the pitch, getting pictures, getting Instagrams, hanging out with the family. What are your thoughts heading into this match?
You know, Miami's not a bad team. They're not a bad team at all. I very much want to see us take care of the ball better. We take care of the ball better, that's just going to lead to more shots, more goals, more points getting put up on the board. We do that on Saturday. You know, let's at least bump our possession up to, say, I don't know, 45%. Let's get 45% possession of the ball. Let's put two in the back of the net. You know, give up one just for fun. And let's get out of the Saturday night with another result and another 3 points. I won't say that I'm worried so much about it. I just want to see a little bit more, a little cleaner play, get some more possession, take care of the ball a little bit better, and this team's going to be just fine.
I'm excited for this match. I'm excited for the atmosphere. I think the crowd and the excitement that's going to be at the stadium is really going to energize these players. I think we'll see what Orange County can be in this match, even if they are missing a few players. I think they'll be ready for this and excited. We got to do score prediction for this match. Who wants to go first? I'll let you all pick who's going to go first. And you can nominate me if you want me to go first. I don't care.
Okay, Ray, go first.
My score prediction is going to be 3-1 Orange County. No shutout this match, but we're still going to get the victory 3-1 Orange County.
Go ahead, Dylan.
2-1 Orange County. Ethan Zubak finally gets one that he deserves for the amount of running he's been doing. Yeah.
It's almost as if you read my mind, Dylan. That's exactly what I was going to say. 2-1 Orange County. Zubak, let's get him some good service in the center. Let's get have you guys seen any video clips of this guy jumping? He needs to enter the NBA dunk contest. This guy can fly. Hell, man, get the ball up there in the air. Let him get a header or something. Give him some good service. Let's get his account opened. And like Cameron said, have him on the show next Monday, and we go 5 for 5 on goal scorers.
Perfect. I'm really excited if that is the case, if we can make that happen. Let's do that. Let's now move on. Is there any important random soccer? Oh, wait, the stand. Let's go to the standings. Yes, thank you, producer. I messed this up. Here's the standings through week two with the predictions. I think most of y'all did good. I failed this week. I did not submit a prediction, so thus that's why I only have 1 point. But it looks like Nathan from our podcast team is leading there. Looks like we got Nico for the community and or fans that are leading there with 8, but there's a bunch of you pretty close. 7 there for Matt, 7 for Kayvon, Denise has 7, so keep it up. Keep submitting those predictions. I will do better at this. I will not miss it this weekend. I will make sure to get it in time. Here's what happened to me. I forgot that Pittsburgh was an East Coast team. So I was doing running errands all day. I got home at like 5:30 getting ready. Oh, let me get ready to watch the match. And I'm like, wait, they're in Pittsburgh. Turned it on second half. I went and rewatched the match, but I didn't get to watch it live from the very beginning. That was my fault for not paying attention.
Geography is hard. That's our word.
It is very hard. Any important other soccer news that either of you want to talk about tonight before we wrap things up today?
No, sir.
Random soccer thoughts or random thoughts in general. Any random thoughts in general?
Not a thing.
No?
I'm drawing a blank. Let's just get to Saturday. Let's go.
Dylan, do you have a random thought?
I do, but you know what? Let's get to Saturday. Let's go. I feel like I'm smiling so much after we had Cameron Dunbar on, and I want that infectious energy to last through Saturday at about 9 p.m. after we've utterly demolished Miami 50-0 or something. That'd be great.
Perfect. Let's get around here and figure out what we all learned in this episode. I'm going to go to you first, Larry. What did you learn tonight?
I learned that I'm very disappointed that that kit that Dan was wearing is not going to be available, because I kind of was digging it. I thought that was a good looking uniform right there. That's another one that I would probably spend money on. That's the big takeaway for me tonight.
Dylan, what'd you learn tonight?
I learned that our producer, beloved producer Andy, could probably waltz his way into any IT management position with his ability to get Dan Rutstein back onto the show.
He pulled off the podcast magic or the show magic here.
Yeah. It was the old power it off and on trick. That's all it was.
That's been the correction since like the 80s when it comes to electronic devices. That and blowing into the cartridge.
Probably did it with abacus too. Do you think it's abacus or abacai? This could be another thing we've all learned tonight.
You're the literary expert here, Dylan.
But this is a math device, so.
But you're talking about how to say the word, so that would be more your. Let's get away from this random English conversation. What did I learn today or in the show? I learned that Cameron is very open to the idea of doing some sort of Popeye celebration with a can of spinach or a guy walking some spinach on the sidelines. He seems very open to it. So let's somehow make it happen. Whether it's CLC working something out or, hey, club, do something where we can have some spinach on the sidelines so when Cameron scores, he can go do some sort of fun celebration. Who knows how that works?
Do not bring cans of spinach to the game and throw them when Cameron scores, okay? We just do not need our players
loose leaf spinach. Loose leaf spinach. That's what you bring in if you're going to throw it.
Just throw it up in the air like confetti.
That's actually a good idea. And I think spinach would sneak through the security line, if I'm mistaken, if you don't bring a big old bag of it. Just if everyone in CLC brings a little baggie of spinach, start throwing it up in the air on a goal, that'd be perfect.
Please don't actually do this. And for the record, the plural of abacus is either abacuses or abacai.
So either or.
So we've all learned something tonight. You're all very welcome.
And yet I still don't care about that.
Can we change what we've learned tonight? We learned how to say abacus in plural form. I want to thank everyone, all of you that were watching live, contributing in the chat, sharing your thoughts, questions, ideas, and just having a fun time with us on the show. If you're listening podcast form, thank you for doing that as well. Make sure you go on to social medias. Follow us on all the social medias, including TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. Also, anything we post, if you like what we have to say, if you like our episodes, please give it a like, share it with your friends, share it on social medias. We would really appreciate that. And wherever you listen to the podcast, or if you watch live on YouTube, Facebook, or X, give us a like there and a follow as well. I want to thank our guest tonight, president of OCSE, Dan Rutstein, also forward and goal scorer for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Cameron Dunbar. I want to thank producer Andy, Larry, Dylan, all of you that were listening. Thank you for that. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we're out.